I just had a little flashback then. A few years ago, I got to go to the Philippines, and I got just saw some of the places that I went to on my mission trip there. And it's just such a beautiful place. But yeah, it's so good to be here today in God's presence and with you all. And I'm going to read from Psalm 61, verses 1 to 8, which says, "Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer. From the ends of the earth, I call to you. I call as my heart grows faint. Lead me to the rock, which is higher than I. For you have been my refuge and a strong tower against the foe. I long to dwell in your tent forever and take refuge in the shelter of your wings. For you, God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. Increase the days of the king's life, his years for many generations. May he be enthroned in God's presence forever. Appoint your love and faithfulness to protect him. Then I will ever sing in praise of your name and fulfill my vows day after day." I love that we can dwell safe beneath the shelter of his wings. That imagery is just so powerful. Let's join together in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.
Well, today in the church calendar, it's one of those special Sundays that kind of get overlooked a little bit. It's the Transfiguration Sunday. And it's actually one of the pivotal points because we move away from this period of post-Christmas, and then we move into, on Wednesday, the period of Lent. For some people, some other denominations, Ash Wednesday is such a really significant day. For others, it's just a day to eat pancakes. But we move into this period over this next little while of Lent. And but first of all, we have this moment in Scripture where it's one of, I think it's only three times where we hear God speaking directly to Jesus. This is my son in whom I'm well pleased. We hear this at his baptism and also at his crucifixion as well. So we have this pivotal moment in Scripture when we lead up into this journey of the cross. But we're looking this morning at Matthew 17. Verses 1 to 13. And I'm wondering if we could read this together, these 13 verses. So I'll sit down here so everyone can see. But let's share this together. After 6 days,
Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then, there appeared before them Moses and Elijah, talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said. "Don't be afraid." When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. The disciples asked him, "Why then do the teachers of the law say that Elijah must come first?" Jesus replied, "To be sure, Elijah comes and will restore all things. But I tell you, Elijah has already come, and they did not recognize him, but have done to him everything they wished. In the same way, the Son of Man is going to suffer at their hands." Then the disciples understood that he was talking to them about John the Baptist.
In the passage in Psalms that Jody read, it talked about being under the tent. And other versions of this particular passage in Matthew, when he talks about making shelter, he says, "Why don't we put up some tents?" Hence the reason we have a tent here this morning. And we're going to look a little bit more about that in just a moment as well. But gracious God, as we remember Christ's transfiguration, we stand in awe at the glimpse of your glory revealed on the mountain. Just as Peter, James, and John witnessed the radiant presence of Christ, we too are transformed by your love and grace. As we offer our tithes and offerings, may these gifts reflect the warm light of your love in our lives. Just as Jesus was transfigured before them, may our hearts be transformed and our actions reflect the love and truth Jesus embodies. Bless our giving and use it to bring your divine light to a world in need. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, as a kid, I used to love to go camping. And this first slide here kind of shows the sort of camping that we used to go on as kids. Anyone ever remember going camping in tents like that? Yeah, I don't know. So I've got, mum and dad have five kids. They're officers as well. I don't know whether it was because this was the cheapest form of holidays we could take or whether it was what they thought we should do as a family. But if we weren't going to the family farm, we were camping. And one year, we'll go stay on that one for a second. One year, we went in tents like that. Mum and Dad were the officers at Mount Isa in the middle of nowhere up in Queensland. And one year they thought, seeing we're up there, we'll go to Alice Springs and we'll go to Uluru and we'll go camping there. Now, this is in June, July. Mount Isa doesn't ever get cold. Uluru gets very cold. That's back in the day where to get the weather you had to listen to the TV or read the newspaper. You couldn't really jump on your phone to see what the weather was doing. So we went camping in June, July, school holidays, to Uluru in tents like that. These were old Sagala tents that we got from the Sagala cupboard at Mount Isa, and we went camping. We had four tents like this, so there was like two of us in each tent, and one tent was the food tent. Gosh, I've never felt, even now, I never felt so cold in my life. And we've been through Canberra winters and stuff like that. It was a big regret. But even, so we used to go camping as a family like that. But even now, as a family, we like to go camping, but we go camping a little bit different. So this is the next slide here. As a family, we go camping in our camper trailer. So it's quite a large setup, our camper trailer. It's got the bit that flips over, which is up in the top bit over there. And when it flips over, it's got a king-size bed on top of the trailer part, which is very handy. And then we've got two extensions that go on. And by the time you add up the extensions to add on, it's about... I think it's about 11 metres long and 6 metres wide type thing. So it's a little bit more spacious than the other tents we went. It's quite an effort to set it up. You need like 3 days and then you add it on. And in there it's got the pop out, so it's got a sink as part of it, and you can cook in there and all that sort of stuff. It's got power, so we went in July to Bundaberg, and we put an electric blanket on the bed, you know, stuff like that. So it's quite a little bit of an upgrade to camping to when I was little, but it's much, much nicer that way. I don't know about you, and this next slide, did anyone ever make these sort of tents? Yeah. Tent forts in the house with blankets? Our kids still make those sort of things. I remember when we had, I was quite lazy making my tent fort. We had bunk beds growing up. So I just put the top blanket off the top bunk and bring it down, and there's my fort. You know, but this sort of thing over tables and chairs. Our kids, a couple years ago, during the COVID time, they wanted to have a camp out, but it was bad weather. So we got these $15 tents from Kmart, and they camped out in the lounge room that way. They all had their own individual sleeping pod. Still caused fights, you know, because, you know, I want the tent closest to the TV type thing. But yeah, these sort of tents are pretty special. And what I remember about making a tent fort and stuff like that, you like tents, Josh, you can camp out there if you're nice and quiet if you want, is not only was it an exciting place and a special place to go, but if things weren't going my way, which was often the case, if things weren't going my way, the tent was also a place that offered a safe, peaceful spot. You know, it was a spot where you could go and have some time out, some nice quiet. You could hide away from the rest of the world. And for the purposes of today, it also works as a great illustration to talk about these passages that we're looking at. The first one was the one that Jody read from Psalm 61. It says, "Let me abide in your tent forever." Let me abide in your tent forever. And when I read passages like that, it also reminds me of times when I've gone camping out and tried to stay in a tent. But in the case of this psalm, the word tent is probably a poetic way of referring to temple. The temple was also a safe space, a holy place. And for the psalmist, the idea of temple was a place where God would dwell. The psalmist is expressing a desire to be in a safe place with God, to live in that place forever. I don't know about you, but I like the idea of finding a safe space to live. You know, that's pretty important for all of us, isn't it? That safety idea, a safe place to live. Just like when we were kids, building those forts and sleeping in the tents, or whatever it is that you did to make yourself feel safe, there is a feeling, a desire that doesn't leave us when we become adults. I suspect this desire to find a safe space has been with us ever since Adam and Eve had to leave the Garden of Eden. We have an inbuilt longing to return to the place where God dwells, to abide in his tent forever. Of course, one of the primary benefits of a tent is something that you can take with you, isn't it? Perhaps our camper trailer isn't as portable as this little tent here, but a tent is something that you can take with you. Unlike a house or a church, you can bring a tent with you wherever you like. And perhaps one of the reasons the psalmist, just like this, you can take the tent with you wherever you like. And perhaps one of the reasons the psalmist is inspired to use the word tent instead of temple, it is a recognition that God doesn't want us to abide in a temple forever. He wants us to be the church without walls. Instead, God wants us to abide with God forever. He doesn't want us to abide in the temple forever. He wants us to abide in God forever. A tent reminds us that wherever life takes us, God's tent, God's presence, is always available to us and among us. God's tent among us. Also reminds me of another passage in Scripture in John 1:14. The Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen His glory, the glory of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. The Greek word here used for live among us literally means to live in a tent among us, or to pitch a tent among us. That's what Jesus did when He became human. He pitched His tent among us. We sung this morning, "From heaven you came to show the way." And when I think of God, His Son not sparing, sent Him to die, I scarce can take it in. When Jesus became human, He pitched His tent among us. It's almost like a camping trip from heaven. I think I'd like it the other way, personally, but you know, it's almost like a camping trip from heaven, you might say. He became one of us and pitched His tent here with us. And through the Holy... He pitched His tent here with us. It's kind of like when Jesus did this, He became the temple, the place where God dwells in a portable form. And through the Holy Spirit, Jesus now goes where we go, fulfilling His promise to always be with us, everywhere we go. That promise from Matthew 28:20, "Surely I am with you always to the very ends of the age." Also reminded of another passage that uses that same Greek word. It's when Jesus is transformed on the mountain, when Peter, James, and John are with Him on that holy camping trip. I shouldn't print double-sided. When Jesus is transformed and is speaking with Moses and Elijah, and Peter says, "Lord, is it good? It is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here. I'll build three tents here so we can all camp out with you." Peter wanted to stay on the mountain. Who wouldn't? So he offered to pitch a tent for Jesus and for Moses and Elijah too. But Jesus knew He couldn't stay atop of that mountain forever. He needed to come down the mountain, to go to Jerusalem, to die for the sins of the world. You know, tents can be comfortable places. They can be as comfortable as we want to make them. They can protect us from life's unpredictable elements. But we can't stay in our tents. We are called to go into the world and do the work with Jesus. Now, the past few years have made that a little bit more difficult. For many of us, we've had to tent in place, haven't we? As the virus, this COVID virus, has spread around the community, we've had to tent in place. There's a time to be in the safety of our own tent, but there's also a time where we must leave to do the work which God has called us to. There's one final mention of tents in Scripture that I want to look at, and that's from 2 Corinthians 5. "For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands. Eternal is the heavens. For in the tent we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwellings. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we can always be confident, even though we know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. We walk by faith and not by sight." You know, we live and dwell in earthly tents. Portable, yes, but not indestructible. Our tents, our homes, our churches, Our bodies are all temporary. There is no forever home this side of heaven. But Paul reminds us in this passage that we have a building from God. Eternal is the heavens, he says. This is where we're all headed. We're traveling through this life on our way to our heavenly dwelling. It is good to be here, but here is not where we are going. And so, we hike and camp our way through this life with God leading the way. So how's your journey going? Are you camping on the sidelines? Perhaps not feeling worthy or good enough to go inside the tent? Perhaps you've wondered what God is all about. I want to encourage you to step inside God's tent. God is a good God, and he loves us all. And when you step inside that tent, you won't be disappointed. Perhaps you have a growing relationship with God, which is getting deeper. And living in the shelter of his tent, you've seen your faith grow and strengthen. If this is you, I want to encourage you to step back outside the tent and encourage others and share your faith with them as well. This morning, we're going to have a time of reflection. A time where we can all reflect on how our own spiritual life is going. A time where we can reflect on where we are each individually. A time where you might want to reconnect with God in your own special way. Within the Salvation Army, we have a place of prayer, a mercy seat, which is always available. It's a place where you can just come and pray with God. We can do that where you're sitting, where you sit, you can do that. However, the great thing about coming and praying at the front, it's a public place. It's a place where you're saying to other people, I want to make a commitment today. It's also a place where you can come and others will come and pray with you. So perhaps this morning you want to come and pray down the front and say, Lord, I want to get to know you deeper. Lord, I want to thank you for everything that's going on in my life. Perhaps you just want someone to come and pray with you. Lord, I long to dwell in your tent forever and take refuge in the shelter of your wings. Then I will ever sing in praise of your name and fulfill my vows day after day. Lord, we just thank you that we can be found in the shelter of your wings. Lord, we thank you that you provide protection for us. Lord, we've used this idea of tents today. And Lord, we thank you that you call us to step out of our tents to share the good news with others. Lord, and help us to take up those opportunities that are before us. But Lord, thank you that we know that there's always safety and protection within your tent. So gracious God, we just thank you for all that you are, for each one of us. This, Lord, we pray in your name. Amen. Share with you a benediction before we sing again as we leave this morning. We're going to sing again, Shout to the Lord. But let me leave you with a benediction. To him that is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. I love that bit, you know, without fault. That's all good, but with great joy. Just think about that. We're presented before God with great joy. He's so excited and happy to present us. Now, I'll talk about that another time. Present you without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ, our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore.